our side. It says your side, but it's my side. You know, let me tell you something. I just want to tell you a brief story to set, see if I can set this up so you can get a deeper understanding. You know, when whether everybody that knows me, maybe not the later people, but the older members, they know me as being a master plumber. Because about two or three days, I was up under my house trying to stop water leaks. And in course of doing so, as often as I've been under that house, I don't have claustrophobia. But this one particular time, I went up under the house, and the time I climbed up under there, I could not breathe. I actually started hyperventilating. I couldn't catch my breath. So I immediately came back from under the house. And when I did that, it still felt close. I was outside laying on the ground, the sun shining all outdoors, but I just something about going that claustrophobic, whatever it was, hit me. And I went in the house and got in the bedroom. It was still set, everything was. And so I came in, I said, look, this is very unusual. So it's so unusual, that never happened to me before, but the Lord gave me a message. He said, now go to church Sunday, pray for those who are suffering from claustrophobia. And I did that, and I said, now claustrophobia, that's such a, but about six or so people stood up. They were really having a problem with claustrophobia. And I pray that God had healed that. But this morning I have a different story. The last, what I should be happy and all excited about everything that has transpired, everything that was going on, but I wasn't. For the last 4 to 5 weeks, I was in a rut. Okay. I couldn't, everything that I had to do, I did, but it was a chore. It was really a strain trying to do it. For that, everything started coming in. It's not well. Don't put me in the same boat as Job. But the things that came weren't like that bad. But when circumstances, problems, situations come up from all directions, yeah. It gets so that even though you believe God, or trust in God, but sometimes when you get by yourself, and I was coming here on Wednesdays and cutting grass because everybody know when I having problems, I want seeking the Lord for something, I get on the lawnmower and start cutting grass. I don't answer any phones. And it's such a joy to come to church on that Wednesday and know I'll be on the lawnmower for at least 2 hours. And so I was but nothing happened. I didn't hear from God. He didn't tell me anything. And one thing led, was the pressure still coming on. Then it got so bad that I had to do something very simple. And I got agitated. Because it was simple, any ordinary, but I had so much going on. And then I'm doing some other things that I did. And it just seemed like they couldn't get straight. They were always calling me. And I said, wait, what's going on? I have actually tried 3 weeks ago while we were on that break to seek the Lord for a message on the day. I was up Friday night till 2:30 in the morning. Anyway, late with the next day or so, until 2:30 in the morning. Nothing. Then I found this, it came to me. All right, I guess everything that God done is for a purpose. And I just want to leave you with that thought. When things get dark, it's for a purpose. But it seemed like God wants me to experience those things. That was odd. That's never happened to me before. So if you need a title, and I guess you do, Trusting God in Dark Times. The testimonies were great this morning. I enjoyed it. I said, Lord, you sure this is right, but somebody here need this. If you don't need it, I'm taking it. I'm being selfish this morning. It's for me. If you can agree in certain things going on, I don't mind you joining in. I may ask you a question. I'm not looking for an answer. I just want you to think within yourself what that answer would be. You know, it's only human to be afraid. But Christians have the option of being superhuman. We had that option. So we have chosen to trust God in the dark. Depending on God, he isn't that hard when life is sailing by. Depending on him is really not that hard. But when your problems pile up to the place where you don't know what is happening, you don't know where this thing is going, and it keeps on coming, different things, and it's difficult to hold on to hope, we will learn what it takes to trust God in the dark. Many are confused, weary, tired, frustrated, lost, and may be afraid. These are some of the symptoms that I had. I'm talking about me. Y'all are good. I'm talking about me. Let us turn to three great verses in the Bible. These verses are located in a little book that if your pages were to stick together, you'll miss the whole thing. Matter of fact, I should have told y'all when I first got up here to look for it, because some of you may not find it until after I'm finished. It's in the book of Habakkuk. See that? They can't even find it on the computer. Habakkuk is a prophet who is confused. He got some questions, just like I had some questions. In the first chapter, in the second verse, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, he says, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you not hear me?" I know not any of you ever felt like that. Don't answer. Just keep it to yourself. God, you are taking too long. Now, you know, if the preacher feels like that, see, Habakkuk was a prophet. What about if the preacher feels like that, what do you think the congregation think? So one problem he is facing, Habakkuk I'm talking about, is God is taking too long to come to anybody. Have you ever felt like that? God, I believe you can do stuff, but somehow you are just moving slow. Even a prophet struggled with the slowness of God. God was not only moving too slow, but his movements were very confusing. He couldn't make sense of it. In fact, God responding to his statement says in chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "Look among the nations." And I have an exclamation point there. Then he says, "Observe." Another exclamation point. Then he said, "Be astonished." Another explanation point. Then he says, "Wonder." Another explanation point. Because I'm doing something in your days you would not believe if I were to tell you. So, first of all, you're taking too long. Now I can't figure you out. One problem is, God is appearing to move too slow. Another problem is inability to understand what he is doing because it seems so contradictory in this particular prophecy. God was going to raise up an evil people called the Babylonians to discipline his people, which causes Habakkuk to say in verse 13, he says, Your eyes are too pure to approve evil. And you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on these who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallowed up those more righteous than they? In other words, I know I'm bad. I'm not perfect. But God, they're worse. It's not fair. So now, everything is being compounded. So you're taking too long. I can't figure out what you're doing. And the little that I do know, it's not fair. Habakkuk, you are not the only one who thinks like that, those thoughts about God. Now, it's hard for Christians to say. It's hard for them to, because it sounds so unspiritual. It is a lot easier just to say, God's going to fix it. I know he will. He is able. You know why he is able? He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the bum in Gilead. It's a lot easier to say that. But when you're by yourself, you are thinking your real thoughts while you are still believing in him. You know, God is real. There are those times where you have to raise some questions. Y'all not black, you never experienced that. I'm so glad you're blessed. When you're moving too slow, taking so long, why are you so confusing? Lord, I just don't understand you. Because what you're doing contradicts what I know about you. Amen. Well, good news. And you're not alone. That's the good news. He is not the only one that had to struggle with the method of God. He says in the second verse of chapter 3, he says, Lord, I have heard the report about you and I fear. Now, listen at this. You're taking too long and I'm so confused. It's not fair and I am afraid. A combination of negatives. And he is the preacher. There are only 3 chapters in this book, but it starts off in a pit, but it ends up on the peak of the mountain. It begins down in despair. Physically, he is a nervous wreck. Now look at the language he used in chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place, I trembled. This man is a nervous wreck. Physically, he is done. Distraught. He is falling apart and unraveling at the seams. Have you ever felt that way? Don't answer me. Y'all good. Everything was just falling apart around you. It's chaos during the day, chaos when you go to bed, chaos when you get up in the morning, chaos when you're on the way to work, then there's chaos when you get to work. And that was the situation here. Glad that the past is behind you, but really uncertain about the future in front of you. That was his problem. He has got to wait quietly. He says at the end of verse 16, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arrive who will invade us. In other words, what he is looking forward to wasn't very too exciting to look at. His future looked dim. Distressed, that's what they call it. I can't take another year like this last one. Matter of fact, in today's terminology, I can't take another day like the one I just had. Yet, don't see much hope for improvement. But the last three verses, after he has taken 3.5 chapters to tell you his struggles, his frustration, his confusion, his fear, he comes down to 3 last verses. Verses 17 through 19. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock shall be cut off from the fowl, from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stall. Verse 18, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and made me walk on high places. Yeah. Y'all don't know. You ever seen what a hind's feet look like? On this crooked mountain. I see it on Discovery Channel, on this animal channel. This joker, I don't care how steep, how rock, he can keep his, he can be flat-footed. And walk around like I'm walking around on flat land. From the world standpoint, the three options are generally given by the world. Here they are. Are people who, as they look at negative situations in their life, I said the world, but you know, you have some Christians like this too. Not saying they're not saved, but they look at bad situations like this. One way is residing yourself. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. And you know that they are in a sighing situation, in a sighing mode, because when it says something that they say, how you doing? What's going on? The second way people deal with life when it doesn't seem to offer a future, and that is detachment. In other words, they detach themselves, so they have to think, so they wouldn't have to think about it. Maybe come home from a day's work, turn on the television. I can distract myself by these shows that come on TV. But if I can do drugs, you know, I won't feel it. If I can't feel good enough to be distracted from the pain, that's what drugs does. If I just can party hardy, then I can let that partying erase the problem. The only problem with detachment is that it's camouflaged. In other words, it doesn't fix anything. It just hides it only for a little while. And you know, in your world, in your life, I don't care how hard you try, you cannot be entertained and party all the time. Amen. It's going to run out and something else is going to have to fill in the space. The third way people deal with their uncertainty is to speak. It was said, take it like a man. Yeah. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Pull your chin up. Oh, you the man. Be the man. I can handle it. Life is not going to get me down. You know, I can take it. But you know, That kind of thinking can easily lead into what we call power thinking. The power of positive thinking. The problem with that is things get bad enough, all the pep talk in the world won't help you.
Amen.
Just like pep talk that a coach gives a football team, let's say he called a timeout. It's the fourth quarter. He calls a timeout. There's men sitting there. He's walking around fussing, trying to give them that pep quote week, and they are behind 50-0. You in the fourth quarter? You haven't done anything in three quarters? Pep talk is not going to do it. Then reality sets in. You know, we're not going to win this thing. You probably have experienced that. Y'all can, if you have, just say, yes, I know what you're talking about. I'm talking about how we experience it. You come to church. You heard a powerful sermon. It picked you up. It made you feel good. Then all of a sudden, you come to church like, what's wrong? You heard the sermon and you, yeah, hallelujah, y'all, man, you're good to go. I can make this. You walk out to your car 5 minutes after the benediction. Man, this ain't working. This not doing it. Because even religious pep talk is not enough. So the question today is, what do you do when God is taking too long? What do you do when uncertainty is in front of you? What do you do when you're afraid? What do you do when everything is falling apart around you? Habakkuk, in verse 18, he says, I will exalt the Lord.
Yes.
Even though I have many questions.
Yes, yes.
I will exalt the Lord, even though I have confusion, even though I am afraid, even though I don't see a solution, and even though God doesn't make sense to me. Rather than pretend that nothing's wrong, I'm going to exalt in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the reality, the reality of God, even when I can't see him or what he's doing. I'm going to choose to believe in the reliability of God, even though it's dark in my life. You know, it's a choice. But sometimes you don't think about the choice. Sometimes when things hitting you from left, right, front, top, and you look on your feet, it's coming up from the bottom. You don't, because see, the devil is smart. See, it don't take, it's like a sun shining on a cloudy day. When the clouds are thick and a thunderstorm is coming, I don't care what you do, it's going to cloud the sun. So the same concept with Satan when he's trying to destroy you. He's trying to turn you against God. He's trying to separate you from God. And when all these things keep coming, you know, if one problem comes up, he says, you start praying for that problem. When two comes up, you begin to get a little busy now. Lord, this is happening, and Lord, I know you're going to take care of this. And when he doesn't take care of those, and other things keep propping up. Then here's because you now you're so frustrated, you don't have the mind to pray. Matter of fact, you don't want to tell anybody because you know what they're gonna say. You know the word. You know what God says His word, but you don't want to hear it. So what happens when this The spiritual cloud comes between you and God, and all of a sudden the light from heaven is not shining. It's because your mind, because of who you, what you're choosing to listen to and to look at, all this stuff that's happening around you. When you take your eyes off of God, the light from God don't shine on you anymore because your thoughts are other places. Learning to trust God in the dark when you have no support for your faith other than you know him to be, you know what he can do, you know what he's capable of. That's all the content we have. That is, you know him, what you know him to be. You know God. You know, can't nobody tell you, but in your mind, you know that. But when you've been bombarded with stuff, you appeal to two things in his character. You appeal to that. What he is like, you know what God is like, and his works. What he has already done for you and others in the past. That is why you need to know the Bible. That's why you need to read the Bible. That's why you need to study the scriptures to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Because you got to know what he did yesterday. Habakkuk spends 3.5 chapters talking about his despair, what God is not doing, how confusing I am it was for him. Verses 3:15, rehearsing what God did yesterday. He alludes to the Red Sea. Now, this is 3:15. Rehearsing what God did yesterday of chapter 3. Now, this is one sure way to get back where God wants you to be. He alludes to the fact of the Red Sea. He knew that. He alludes to David killing Goliath. He alludes to all these historical things. Why do you think he did that? Do you need to know what God did yesterday, in the past, in the Bible, in the life of your mama, in your friend's life? What do you need? Do you need testimonies? Because of this, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The reason you got to know what he did is because of what he did, he can still do.
Amen.
Because he does not change. The word says, my God changes not. We call it the I have practiced this word so many times. Immutability of God. His methods vary, but his abilities don't. He still can do what he did yesterday. Because he hadn't changed. Now, chapter 2, verse 20. Y'all still have you found Habakkuk yet? He says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. That means shut up. That's what it means. All the earth, that's us.
Amen.
That verse is important because that verse before that, in verse 19, it talks about dumb idols that people look to for solutions. They can't speak. They can't talk. You have to set them up and break them down. And they are dumb. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth, that's you and me, be silent before him. Now, why do we need to know that? This is going to bring some sleep back to y'all. Well, not y'all. To me and my restless night. We need to know that. In other words, when you can't figure it out, don't get a headache over it. When you can't solve it, don't stay up all night trying to figure it out. God knows how to tell you what he wants you to know. And if he has not informed you of anything more that he has already informed you of, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Yeah. Stop. Go to sleep. Stop fussing. Stop complaining. And be silent before the Lord. In other words, let him do what he is going to do, and he wants us, and I'm telling you, leave God alone. He is going to do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, the timing that he wants to do it. Everything is perfect in God. Leave him alone. Y'all remember Peter? You know, he was on his boat. Jesus, that you out there?
Yes, Peter.
Come on out and join me. Join him. Jesus standing on water. First down there, I said, ain't no land out there, Jesus. I said, come on. God bid him to come out. He gets out the boat. Oh, Lord, look at here. Started moonwalking on water. Going toward Jesus. Then the storm comes up. Oh, my goodness. He was distracted by the winds and the waves around him. In other words, he began to focus on his circumstances. When he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to focus on the situation that he was in. All this stuff going around. I guess he was saying to himself, you fool, why did you get out the boat? What are you doing out here on walking on water? As long as he was talking to Jesus, he was doing fine. He looked at his circumstances, and the Bible says he began to sink. And you will sink every time you take your eyes off the Lord and focus on your circumstances. You are going down. Peter looked up and said, Lord, save me. When he changed his focus back to what got him started in the first place, he began to walk on water again. Are you tired of going down? There was an old song. Y'all don't remember this, but Pastor Scott remember. I'm going down one time. Going down two times. You don't remember that? Well, I take that back. You weren't as old as my great-grandmother. Going down three times. Going down three times. I'm going to pay for that one. Are you tired of going down? Look up. Keep your eyes on him. He may not get rid of the storm right away. But you'll be walking on it rather than it walking on you. I ask no one to say anything to answer my questions that I ask. But I just want to, if anyone has been in, either you feel yourself heading in that direction, God says deliverance is in this place this morning. Being set free is in this place this morning. So I don't know who it is. I don't want to know. Just raise your hands up, right? Everybody, just raise your hand. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, you understand my thoughts. You made me. You understand me. You can understand, Lord, all the confusion that I've had. I repent from having that fear because you're not fear. I forget in not having that love I should have because you are love. Father, I repent of all that I thought that was in your word, I should say. Father, I know you had looked back on certain things in my life and I can only say that you brought me through those things to this place right now. Father, you hadn't changed. And Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, those that need to hear this, Lord, I thank you for setting them up, pulling them up as they look toward heaven, toward you, and talking only to you, even though the circumstances is trying to cloud them up, but they have the strength that you have given them to stretch their arms out to you. And Father, I thank you. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for setting us free, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you something.